Thanks for listening to this episode of It Did Happen Here. The transcripts, show notes with links, full credits, and other relevant content can be found at our website, itdidhappenherepodcast.com. Interviews in this episode were conducted by Annette Newell, Selena Flores, Claire Risciotto, Ender Black, and Aaron Yankee. And your hosts were Mike Crenshaw and Selena Flores. This podcast is produced by Selena, Mike, and me, Aaron Yankee. Thanks to the participants for sharing their stories. Thanks also to Lindsay Runyon and Enrique Rivera of the Multnomah County Library, the Institute for Anarchist Studies, PM Press, the Marla Davis Fund, KBOO Community Radio, and to the rest of our production team, Icky A., Julie Perini, and Mo Baustern. And thank you for listening.
It is KBOO Portland. It is KBOO's fall membership drive, and we need your help to make our goal by the end of this week of $55,000. You can help us out. Go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. You can also go to kboo.fm and get our exclusive limited edition Sounds of Democracy t-shirt, only available for the rest of our fall membership drive. I want to take this opportunity to thank some people who've bought the Sounds of Democracy t-shirt. I want to thank Mitch, Shane, Lee, and Pete, Greg, and Michael. Thank you so much to everyone who has supported KBOO during our fall membership drive. kboo.fm/give. Text KBOO to 44321. kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
On October 4th, 2021, the KBOO Foundation, licensee of KBOO FM 90.7 Portland, Oregon, filed an application with the Federal Communications Commission for renewal of license. Members of the public wishing to view this application or obtain information about how to file comments and petitions on the application can visit publicfiles.fcc.gov and search in KBOOFM's public file.
This is KBOO Community Radio. We're in our fall drive exploring the sounds of democracy. Here at KBOO, we believe that, much like democracy, community radio is an ever-evolving experiment. As the needs of our communities grow and change, we remain true to our mission of uplifting underrepresented voices, playing local musicians, and keeping you updated with local news and current events. Show your support by donating right now at kboo.fm/give. Text KBOO to 44321 or click Donate in the KBOO mobile app.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm your host, Stephen Siegel, here with co-host Rachel Haynes. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Stephen.
We are broadcasting around the world from Portland, Oregon. Both of us are public school teachers, and we host every second Monday of the month, where we typically interview educators and talk about what's going on in their schools and in their unions. And joining us today in the Zoom, we have Maddie Kozlov. Did I pronounce your last name correct, Maddie?
Perfect, yeah.
And we have Michaela Oviatt-Greenstein.
Yep.
Did I get it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. Well, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
So we always like to start just by getting to know our guests a little bit and their backgrounds. So can you both start out and tell us a little bit about, where you're teaching and what you're teaching, just some basics there.
Sure. So I'm Maddie Kozlov. I am a school counselor in Newburgh School District, which means that I focus on the social, emotional, academic, and like career side of education. So I don't actually have a class. However, I do serve 100% of the student body, as well as focusing on supporting the students in need.
Michaela Greenstein, I am a special education teacher at the high school. I have been in the district for 6 years. And I actually was born and raised in Newburgh. So I walked those same Newburgh High School halls once, and now get the pleasure of teaching back at the high school that I went to.
Great. And can you both tell us about what inspired you to become teachers, and what do you enjoy now about teaching?
I feel like that's a long, long answer. I'll try to make it as short as I can. My dad's whole family, for the most part, is teachers. His mother was a lawyer, the one exception, and of course my father is the black sheep working in finance. However, the rest of them are teachers, so teaching has always been kind of a topic of conversation in my family. And when I finished college and was trying to figure out what to do, it took a while, but I really spent time talking to a lot of my teacher friends because that's where it felt really natural. And actually I was having a conversation with my friend Clarice, and I said, like, really the most important thing for me is to be there for the kids. Like, I remember those teachers, you know, I can name them off now, like Mr. Hollander and Miss Kale, like Mr. Sachs. Like, those are the teachers that I remember very vividly being there for me in high school. And those are the people that I wanted to do the same thing for my kids. So she actually said, you don't want to be a teacher, you want to be a school counselor. And then I was looking into it, and it really seemed like a great match. And so I pushed forward from there and been at Newburgh for about 7 years now.
I started my route to teaching was a little bit different. My brother experiences hearing loss, and from the time he was 4 years old, he had different appointments at OHSU and had undergone like 8 different surgeries and back and forth with our family. And he's actually what inspired me and got me into teaching. He had some pretty amazing special education teachers / speech pathologists. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, they made such a positive impact in his life. And seeing what he went through and how resilient he was and positive and still is today, I was like, oh, I want to do that. And so I actually got my bachelor's degree in speech pathology and audiology. And while doing my clinical hours, I was in an LRC classroom at a high school, and I was like, okay, no, this is what I want to do. And so my students still inspire me every single day, and I love being there. They teach me so much, and so that's how and why I keep doing what I'm doing.
Great. And then what about your union roles or positions? Do you have union roles or positions?
The easy answer is I don't. I got approached by the NEA as someone who is known and respected, which I interpreted that to mean loud and opinionated.
We lost your audio for a minute there, Meg.
Oh, sorry. I said I really don't have a role with the NEA. I was approached by them as someone who's, quote, known and respected, which in my case I meant I took to mean loud, opinionated, and driven, which I'll take. So.
And I am a building union rep. I have been a building union rep for, this is my third year, being a building union rep. So that's kind of where I fit in to the union.
Great. Well, we wanted to have you on our show to talk about what's been going on in Newburgh. So let's assume some of our audience might not be following what's been happening recently. Can you lay out what has happened starting from the beginning and when you first realized there was a problem?
Sure. Starting at the end of last year, first of all, I should tell you that there was an election going on for the school board members. So signs started appearing from Save Our Schools, which was a PAC, sponsoring different candidates. And that's when this all really started. There was a lot of tension in the community. The people who ran Save Our Schools, we still don't really know who they are. They haven't responded. And of course, when we asked Save Our Schools from what, no one has given us an answer. So we continued forward. The election happened. We ended up having a 4-3 conservative majority, which was a switch from our 4-3 progressive majority. And then when they were sworn in early July, I want to say the 13th, that's when things really started to be felt. That was when they started pushing for a motion, and this was Director Shannon, for banning what he called political symbols, so pride flags and Black Lives Matter flags in all school facilities. It was kind of, it was very much like whiplash. So far, like, I feel like the board beforehand had tried to listen to the community a lot, and this one was really a motion right out of the gate. And they said, of course, you know, because they had won, because there was a new conservative majority, clearly there was a new, I don't want to use mandate, but that's how it felt, like a mandate to get things done. So that started to be pushed through, and without any true community response. So there wasn't time to hear from the community about this. It was very quick. And even though it took a while to be passed, having just finally gone through a few revisions and been passed in this last meeting last month, it's been hard still. I can tell you that all of the school counselors, all the school psychs have written, as well as a few other community members there, have written letters about our professional concerns with this. I have personally spoken at board meetings specifically about the process and lack of community response and involvement in it. And now, of course, it's passed and it's been moved from the board to the superintendent and the attorneys to figure out how, if at all, this is really enforceable or if it's really pushing against teachers' First Amendment rights.
Do you have anything that you wanted to add to that, Michaela?
I think Maddie covered it well.
So what do you think these conservative board members are really trying to accomplish? Who are they? And you talked about that group saving the schools, and from what, we don't know. But can you kind of talk about the larger context? Like, is there involvement in people, community members beyond those few board members?
There is some. Like, clearly there is an aspect of the community which is pleased with what's going on. The four conservative majority are directors Brown, Shannon, Powell, and I believe it's DeHart. I never remember his last name. I can tell you first names, but... and there has been some community like support for it. There have been certain community members who have spoken often at the board meetings. However, it's been really clear by some of the journalism that's been happening and the information that's been released in the district that we are not hearing the whole story. Director Brown and Shannon have claimed that, well, we're hearing both sides equally, but that's kind of, we can talk about what equal really means. Like, does that really mean 50%? Like, you're hearing one opinion and then the next opinion? Or are you accurately reflecting what's going on in the district? So right now we know that yes, there is a portion of the community which does agree with this ban. But we also know that based on the number of emails, based on the number who have signed up to speak, that is actually a smaller portion of the community. And so they're not being equally represented according to what the community actually looks like. So, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but if it were 70-30, not 50-50, like we are being led to believe in the board meeting, that feels very different.
I'm also just as, oh, were you gonna say, answer that too, Michaela?
Yeah, I think from NEA perspective, it's not about like conservative board members. It's about these four board members trying to bring their own politics into the classroom. And that's why we have felt like as an education association, it's so important to protect freedom of speech in the classroom.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask as sort of a follow-up, like how do they determine what constitutes political symbols or political you know, what are they considering political? Is it defined by a specific number of things with actual names like Pride Flag, Black Lives Matter, or is there a more general rule that can be applied to things like the American flag or other political symbols?
Yeah, that's where it gets really complicated. While this started out as just kind of targeted against Pride and Black Lives Matter flags, which evolved into all Black Lives Matter and Pride paraphernalia, it's now gone into what they call political, semi-political, and anything controversial, which is incredibly broad and very concerning. I know that I've had conversations in my building with, well, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean, like, I have a sign on my room that says the witch is in, I put it up for Halloween every year, are kids gonna be like, well, I'm Christian and witchcraft is insulting to me, I'm gonna get complaint lodged against me, and then I'm gonna have to go and figure out what to do with this? I mean, it's very broad and very concerning.
So have there been threats made against educators? Have educators been specifically targeted?
There has been threats made against educators, and I would say that these are the same, the people who are making the threats are the same people who are trying to push their political beliefs into the classroom.
Yeah, you've seen a few of them just recently from the teacher who earlier interviewed, all the way up to, there's been a lot of talk on social media specifically targeting some teachers as well.
Wow. So how has the Newburgh community responded? You said that, you know, you think that there's a much larger portion that is against this ban. But what kind of response have you encountered?
I live in the community, and I think that it has been amazing to go on my weekend runs and run down our downtown, and you see flags, you see banners, you see positive chalk art, you see all of these beautiful, uplifting drawings and messages from the community. And that has just been inspiring. As an educator, as a community member, as someone who's going to be raising her own family in this district, I have loved to see the community get involved and just rally around, you know, our students and doing what's right for them.
Yeah, they've been really great. A lot of them have contributed, not just like beautifying our, you know, and really showing their support, but also quite a few have spoken before the board. Many more have written letters. We also have like things happening, like that giant painting of the Equity Pride flag that can be seen from the high school happening. People have donated time and money showing up for rallies, making pins, making signs, you know, finding safe spaces, joining canvassing efforts. The community has really turned out in, you know, in opposition of this ban.
Great. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Labor Radio. And I also need to mention that we are in the middle of our fall membership drive. KBOO doesn't take corporate money for advertising. We rely on you, our listeners, for sustaining us financially. And you can go to kboo.fm/give to donate. So, can you talk a little bit more about the resistance? You've mentioned some things like signs and rallies and things. Tell us about how educators and students in the community have been fighting back.
So every Friday, we have educators, students, community members showing up at the flagpoles for flagpole Fridays, along with taking legal measures to organize our educators. And we're doing this on our own time because it's really that important to us to take those measures to make sure that we have, you know, safe, inclusive spaces for all of our students.
The students have been really inspiring. They've started having interviews with local and kind of like Oregon reporters. And there's even been a segment that was put out recently. Clearly the students are feeling empowered to do something about it. And as an educator, that is incredibly rewarding to see.
Great, yes. And talk specifically about your union. It feels a little funny to call you NEA, but I know that is the short for Newburgh. But talk about Newburgh EA and also OEA in terms of involvement.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of great support from OEA, and NEA has gotten a ton of community support as well, which has been amazing. So our Newburgh Education Association has filed a tort claim, which is a procedural step required to ensure that we hold the district accountable for their actions. So that I know that our education association is going to use all of our tools and collective to make sure and protect the rights of students and educators in our district.
The OEA has done a really great job stepping in with a lot of support just because we haven't been sure how to do this. I mean, there's one thing to talk about it theoretically, and then there's the practical application of doing a lot of this. So they, while we have been a lot of boots on the ground, they are a lot of the infrastructure for figuring out and supporting us, which has been amazing. Between legal advice, between like, hey, here's how we go and do this to make sure that it's above board, as well as just don't do this. Those have all been really helpful, necessary things to know.
Great. And then any other supports, the ACLU, other groups or people, where else are you hearing from as far as getting support?
Maddie, did you want to take this one or do you want me to?
Sure. I think I know some more, but yeah, so the ACLU we've been involved in, there's obviously we've been working with the OEA. There's the Classified Union, whose acronym I always butcher because I can't remember it. And then we've also been working with Basic Rights Oregon. There's the Recall Brian Shannon campaign, Recall Lindsay Bershauer campaign. So there's been a lot of community organizations as well as national ones stepping in and really helping support this issue.
Well, I would like to know how this has been for you personally. So what has been the most difficult part of this time for you?
Do you want to go, Michaela?
Sure. I know for me personally, it's been really hard to see my students struggling and hurting, my fellow educators who are my friends and community members. I mean, like I said, I grew up here. This is my hometown. This is where I'm choosing to raise my own family. And seeing all of those different people hurting, that has been incredibly hard. Seeing students not feel safe at school has been really, really hard.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. Watching students feel uncomfortable has been really hard. And that's hard no matter what. My kiddos are a little bit younger, so I'm not seeing, they're not as vocal as the high school students. However, what I am seeing really as a counselor, my job is not just supporting students and families, but also the staff. And I have seen more staff come in more burnt out and everyone saying, wow, it feels like May compared to what we're usually like. And yes, pandemic, and yes, back to school and things are stressful. And we knew that. But this adds a completely different, more complex layer. When people are coming in being like, I don't know if I should be teaching this unit or if it's okay for me to say these things in classes to kids because they're worried about having parents call and yell at them. I know teachers have gotten incredibly rude emails. And then the kids, there are some kids also fighting back in classes that are clearly, you know, have their parents' opinion. And so classes can be very combative as well. For me, the hardest part is I have an 11-year-old stepchild and they are non-binary. And so to have to come home and talk about this with them and have them like try to explain this in ways that they feel okay with and watch them be very upset in the process has been really hard.
Yes, I can imagine. So what have you learned, or how have you grown from this experience? Big one.
I mean, I've learned a lot. That's one of the reasons why I love my job, is because my students teach me so much and I really do learn from them. But I've seen a lot of people in the community, fellow educators, students, community members, take their anger and frustration and put it into action, which I think has been incredible. Knowing that things aren't right and being able to all work together and seeing that happen, that has just been something that has been pretty awesome to see, and to learn from all of these other incredible humans that are working towards making this place inclusive and safe for everyone.
Yeah, echoing all of that, I've also learned like the importance of local elections a lot more. Beforehand, I really would have focused on, you know, Senate races, definitely presidential, but like the school board or mayor were not really things that were on my radar. Until now, I'm pleased to say I have switched that opinion and I am very much paying attention to this stuff. And you know, before I might have like read maybe one or two things or done a little bit of research, and now I'm like, oh, okay, I actually need to be involved here at this local level. You know, this is where we can really make a difference, you know, especially when, you know, one in millions of votes feels very different versus one in thousands of votes. So.
Yeah, I think we're seeing evidence of that all over the country. There's a concerted effort for conservative people with these extreme ideas getting elected to school boards and really making it difficult for teachers to do their jobs. So what's next for you all? What are you and others working on? Do you have any last words or requests for our listeners in order for people to support you in Newburg?
Well, there are a variety of things kind of happening. So don't boycott Newburg. Come and support the businesses where you are seeing the flags. Like, there are so many of them, and I would be remiss to try to call out some over others, but there are so many that have, you know, those symbols of support up, including our lovely wine industry out there. So I would really encourage people to come out there. The thing that I would ask for, if I can be selfish, is remember that your teachers are people too. Like, we are already under a lot of stress being back in the classroom for the first time in about 18 months. So add up all the health concerns and trying to balance, you know, state testing requirements and standards to teach and, you know, so-and-so's coming to school dirty or hungry or tired, or all of that combined with the added stress from this ban has been really hard. So be kind to your teachers. Yeah.
Ditto.
Oh, I guess the other thing I would point out, and this is one of the good things, is there was that football game at Sherwood, who had done this fantastic Rainbow Out in conjunction with Newburg in support of things, which was amazing. So one of the things that I think it's really hard for a lot of people to separate is that the kids like are really gonna suffer throughout this, no matter what's going on. It's really easy for them to feel and be targeted. And they, of course, have nothing to do with how the board decides. So making sure that this really, you know, the attention really stays where it needs to be and the energy really stays where it needs to be would be phenomenally helpful for all of us, I think.
And if we wanted to turn out for that flagpole Friday, what time does that start?
5 p.m. on Fridays.
5 p.m. on Fridays.
5 p.m. on Fridays, and it is the big flagpole by downtown Newburg, across the street from Hoover Park.
Yeah, as I tell people, you literally just take 99 all the way down, and then the one that like hits right in the middle of 99, we're right there.
Gotcha. And are those going on indefinitely until this is resolved?
They are, yeah.
I believe it's, but they've already been going on 2 months now.
And that's a just gathering of community members with signs and things like that. Okay, great.
Yep, community members, educators, students.
If you want to be more involved or specifically involved with this, I would urge people to check out the Recall Brian Shannon campaign. They're always looking for donations, people to help canvas, or any other thing they have there. I think they're also linked with the Recall Learn Zebra Shower, and I always butcher her last name, who actually was who was supportive of the Save Our Schools PAC and endorsed the 4 conservative board members. So those are 2 very easy ways to give time and money.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining us. And I know this has been a really, like you said, deeply stressful and challenging year, and to have this on top of it is really, it feels like too much, I'm sure. So thank you so much for
joining us. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys
for having us.
Yeah, and thanks to Jamie Partridge for helping us convert this to a radio ready file. Thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Stephen. This is Rachel Haynes. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. to.
It is KBOO's Fall Membership Drive here at KBOO Portland. You can help us reach our goal. This is the last week of our Fall Membership Drive, and we need your support. Text KBOO to the number 44321 or go to kboo.fm/give and make your contribution in support of free independent community radio right now.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad,